Turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. We started there a couple of weeks ago. We're going to continue to be on the Sermon on the Mount for some time, talking about transformation and these teachings of Jesus and just seeing what he has for us. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 today. And some of you will remember that a couple of weeks ago we embarked on this journey in the Sermon on the Mount, and we talked about two blessings. We talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you remember? Blessed are the poor in spirit, and we translated that to the humble. And so God is asking us to have a humble heart. And then we looked at blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so we've seen the teachings of Jesus open up in the Sermon on the Mount in those verses. And now we're going to look at specifically this morning verses 9 through 12 and continue to see what Jesus has to say about when he embarks on this journey called the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, blessed are you. When? Verse 9, in your Bibles, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And he doesn't leave it there, but in verse 12 he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And as I have read these verses this week, I have been reminded again of these beautiful words of Jesus. I was reminded again of what I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago. Our study book on Wednesday morning says perhaps the best well-known teachings of Jesus, perhaps the least understood, and probably the least obeyed. And as I have thought about these again this week, I wonder, when I think of peacemakers and rejoicing over persecution, I wonder if I'm there. I wonder what went through the minds of some of these folks sitting on that hillside that day when he said, blessed are the peacemakers, when all around them they could see the consequences of the oppression from the Romans. I wondered what they thought when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And I wonder, can you envision the thoughts of these Hebrew and Jewish people when they were reminded some of the roads around Jerusalem from time to time were lined with crucified bodies as a reminder, a little deterrent, if you will, to behave yourselves, Jewish people, or this is what happens. And as they had that visual in their minds, I wonder if they could relate even to what Jesus was saying when he said, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the persecuted. I wonder if they could relate. And sometimes I wonder if we can relate either. Oh, we're probably not persecuted like some folks around the world, but I wonder if we can relate to what Jesus is saying here. I wonder if we can imagine. Do you remember the name of the person that Pastor Salek mentioned last week, the woman from Pakistan by the name of Asiya? Did you remember that name? Some of you may have seen or read that name, or if you listen to even BBC News, it was on there. Did you remember that name? Asiya Bibi. Persecuted. Just a couple weeks ago. Well, maybe a month ago. Why? Because she was just everyday life. She was just working there with her comrades, with her fellow workers in everyday life. And they began to tease her and persecute her about being a Christian. And they began to give her a little heat and a little slack. And all she said was, why? In her response to their teasing and their persecution, she said, why, to these people of Muslim faith, why would I leave the living and go to the dead? You may have to process that a little bit to understand what she's saying, but that was against their law, and she has gone to jail, she has gone to trial. You heard Pastor say last week that one of the main people of the provinces tried to stood up for her. He was riddled with bullets, and she will go to execution and death. Why? Because she is willing to follow Jesus. And I wonder, when we think about these words of Jesus that says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." And then he doesn't leave it there, but he says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven." I think Asia. It's spelled Asia. So if you've seen that, then you've seen what I'm talking about. I think she knows what he's talking about. This last week, I was reading in the Voice of the Martyrs again. I think it was a two-time ago Voice of the Martyrs. But I was reading about this Christian man in Egypt. You've heard Egypt on the television lately, haven't you? And I was reading about this Christian man in Egypt who all he wanted to do was help his fellow Christian brothers get some work. He just wanted to find them some work. And the Egyptian police captured him, and they stripped him, and they hung him upside down, and they tortured him in all manner of ways. And I'm not going to give you any more of the details, because it ain't very fun to read. But as you read through the article, and some of you get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, you will read that this brother, Ahmed from Egypt, said this: "Carrying the cross for Jesus is a pleasure to me." You see, friends, he understood what Jesus said when he said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, because great is your reward." He understands that. And we could talk about the folks in Iran or Pakistan or Egypt or Indonesia or Vietnam or Colombia or all parts of Africa, or places all over the globe where people are dying every day for the cause of Jesus. And I wonder what goes out through our thoughts when we think of these words that Jesus said: "Blessed are you when you're a peacemaker. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when they revile you." I suppose one of the reasons it's become so hard for us to swallow is because when we've been hurt, when we've been wronged, when we've been persecuted, our natural tendency, and this goes back to what Pastor Sadek said last week, when we let the flesh lead rather than the spirit, our natural tendency begins to rise up in me, a bitterness, a hatred even. Retribution is what needs to happen next. And I suppose as we process these difficulties in life, maybe it's even persecution of you because you're a Christian in America. Our natural tendencies, our fleshly tendencies, is an eye for an eye, preacher. That's what the Bible says. Tooth for a tooth, life for a life. Or maybe even like one person I worked with many years ago said, "I'll just get even." Maybe that's what rises up within us. Jesus is saying, not so with that radical transformed life that has allowed Jesus to take control. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I've asked myself this week as I've looked at this, is it so hard to be a peacemaker in my workplace if I'm a Christian? People are looking at me because I've claimed the name of Jesus. Is it so hard to be a peacemaker in my home when it seems like all heck has broke loose? Is it so hard for us to be a peacemaker in the church house when division begins and fightings arise? Jesus calls us, friends, to be peacemakers. And as you heard me say 2 weeks ago when I referred to a different commentator that said, when we look at these teachings of Jesus, they are an impossibility in our own strength. But with Jesus, me surrendering wholly to Jesus and allowing His Spirit to lead me. Jim, put the flesh aside today. You've got to let Jesus lead you. Jesus said you can do it. You can be a peacemaker. You can even rejoice and be exceedingly glad when someone reviles and persecutes you for your faith, because you know it doesn't end there. You know your reward is in heaven. Amen? One of the very real attributes of a radical Christian, a radically transformed life, a disciple. And it should be visible that we have a peace about us that is not of this world. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, but Jim, you don't know how I've been wronged. And then I think of stories like Ahmed in Egypt and the disciples of long ago and a couple of million other folks down through the ages that have been killed for the cause of Christ. And probably we all could have made the same argument. But what comes to my mind is, how am I going to do that? How am I going to reflect Jesus when somebody's, well, beating me up physically or verbally or emotionally or anything else? How am I going to be able to, like as Salek said last week, be Spirit-led in all that I do rather than led by the flesh? How am I going to do that? And I believe, friends, it goes back to our initial and total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. We've got to literally set our agenda aside and focus on the Master's agenda. We've got to set our pride aside and focus on Jesus. We've got to set our rights. Oh, we've heard so much about rights. We've got to set those aside and let the Master teach us and lead us to be those peaceful people that He desires us to be, that reflect His glory. Never going to do it on my own. Never going to do it on your own. We must find ourselves surrendering to Jesus completely. We must, as Luke said, deny ourselves every day, take up our cross and follow Him. Can't do it otherwise. We can't do it on our own strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We know the future. If you have claimed the name of Jesus, if you know Him, you know that you know Him. You have surrendered your life to Him. Jesus said, you are blessed when you're persecuted because you know the outcome. You know the future. You say, Jim, I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. You know the future. And we find ourselves at the cross in humility, in hungering and thirsting for righteousness, like our brother in Egypt, Ahmed, that was tortured mercilessly. This is not 1,000 years ago. This was 2 months ago. because he's a Christian and all he's trying to do is find some jobs for his Christian brothers. And yet, in his torturing, he can come back and say, carrying the cross for Jesus is my pleasure. Friends, when our heart has really, totally been surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, we begin to take on a new peace. God is the author of peace. The Bible says Jesus was coming, they call him the Prince of Peace. He told his followers and his disciples to be a peaceful people. And he told them, yes, you can expect some persecution, and blessed are you when you do endure some persecution. And you say, Jim, I don't know how I can do it. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in his love letter to you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with God's people. Deny ourselves daily. Take up our cross and follow him. Surrender my will to his. It's the only way we're going to do it. I asked the earlier service, and I'll ask you today, my friends also, are you there yet? To where Jesus is describing in these Beatitudes, blessed are you when... Are you there yet? Are you able to be peaceful in your soul because you know the Master? In spite of the turmoil and the ugliness that besets you, are you there yet? If somebody persecutes you for your faith, maybe it's even in your own family, that can rejoice and be exceedingly glad because you know your reward. You know the end. You know the last chapter. Do you know peaceful people? When I say peaceful, do you know, does someone come to your mind? Some people come to my mind as just peaceful people. And I wonder about being peaceful for the cause of Jesus, for the name of Jesus. Do you suppose there would be less adversity and factions in life if God's people, disciples, followers of Jesus, were able to live the way he's describing in these first... We've just touched on a few verses. Do you suppose it would be better? I think it would too. Let me ask you this. Do you know where violence and strife and hurt and anger and bitterness, do you know where that comes from? It doesn't come from God. That's why Jesus said to be a peacemaker is to be called a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Friends, when we invite Christ into our life, I mean surrender to him completely. I mean get born again, to use Jesus' terminology. I mean to be saved, to use Paul's terminology. When we get serious with Jesus, he begins to radically transform who we are to be the people that he desires us to be, that reflect his image. It's a radical transformation. It's a radical transformation that he desires to mold and to work in us so that we will reflect Jesus. Do you suppose that my life, say I was still in the workplace and I was always irritable, always angry, never peaceful, do you suppose I would ever reflect Jesus? Do you suppose my testimony that said, yeah, but friend, after I got done chewing them out, yeah, but friend, Jesus is peace, would that hold any water? Jesus is challenging us here in the Sermon on the Mount as people that have surrendered to Him, have been led, filled and led by His Spirit to reflect Jesus so that the world takes notice. Not how good Jim is or how good you are, how good God is. That's what He desires of us. When Jesus takes up residence in our hearts and begins to produce a radically transformed life in you and me, we can not only endure persecution, but like Ahmed and Asiya, rejoice. You say, Jim, you're nuts. If the Spirit of the living God is leading us, friends, these things are a reality. They're not some pie in the sky, feel good, sound good kind of stuff. Jesus called His disciples to these kind of lives. The radically transformed life denies who I once was and starts to embrace who Jesus has made me as His child. Oh, we could talk about martyrdom. There's volumes in the library. There's volumes written about people that have been killed for Christ, tortured, burned at the stake, fed to lions, burned on lampposts. There's volumes written about it. We could talk about it all day long. And we could talk about how they're praying for their captors and persecutors while they're burning. We could talk about how they kneeled in prayer in the Colosseums when the lions were let loose. Why? Because they were people that knew the Prince of Peace. They were people that really embraced Jesus. They were people that allowed His Spirit to radically transform who they were, and they knew the next chapter. So let me conclude today as we prepare for communion. Let me conclude today with this question. If we have claimed the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, have you allowed God in His goodness, in His Spirit, in His mercy, in His transforming, healing power, have you allowed God to transform you to the person He wants you to be? I just want to leave you with that question. Because when He's talking in the Sermon on the Mount to His disciples and to followers, both present and future, He is not outlining a life that cannot be achieved. He is outlining lives that He says, I want to reflect Jesus. These are some ways we can do it. And so I want to leave you with this question. Have you allowed the living God to transform you into that person that reflects Jesus? And if not, would you surrender to Him completely? Let Him do a mighty work in your life so that your life is reflective of Jesus. And friends, if you're here today, you're not even sure you know Him. You're not even sure you've got on your knees or whether physically or figuratively on your face before God and said, God in heaven, I believe You're real. I believe You sent Jesus Christ to die for my sin. I believe I was lost without Him. Forgive me, Lord, and come into my life. If you've never done that, friends, that's where we need to start. And let God begin to do a radical transformation on your life where our lives together begin to reflect Jesus.